fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are back with Proving Ground 6, Winter Part 4, The Elder Throne. And everything I say beyond this point is going to be spoilers. And listen, we're in Winter's third scenario, The Chasm of Time, Part 3. Yeah, see? Spoilers. Anyway, previous scenario, we helped out Thane Porrand in his previous past. We might have changed history, or it might have been one of those predestination wibbly wobbly timey wimey, that's how it always was thing. Or maybe just Thane Porrand's just such a badass that if you change history, he just changes it right back. Not even knowing he's been engaged in wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. Alright, part three. Who are we going to meet this time? Begin. The conclusion of the previous part. As Captain Porrand begins shouting orders to the remainder of the regiment that served Thane Tuzak, attempting to rally them in the face of the swelling goblin horde. Without warning, a thick, swirling band of grey mist takes form just overhead and swiftly descends, swiftly enveloping you in a churning sea of grey fog. A powerful, disorientating sensation washes over you. The sense of disorientation slowly starts to fade, and as it does, the mist that envelops you begins to lift. As the mist dissipates, you're startled to find your wary gaze settling itself upon a scene entirely different from the one that confronted you only moments ago. And now, as you struggle to regain your bearings and acclimate to your new surroundings and to the scenario now unfolding before you, you begin to understand you've just been transported back to another time and place. A frigid blast of wind, bearing on its deadly breath small particles of ice that sting the exposed flesh of your face. How wildly as it surges through the towering hardwoods that surround you. Doing your best to ignore the biting chill now seeping into your bones. That's bad. That is bad for Sir Croakington. Gonna summon a fire elemental right now. There. Okay. Sir Croakington's gonna be fine now. She's just summoned a friendly fire elemental. Just be nearby for a bit. No, so she doesn't accidentally hibernate in the middle of this critical fate of the world mission. Because that would be bad for everybody. And also being lost forever in time. That would suck. Also, but mainly the fate of the world thing. Doing your best to ignore the biting chill now seeping into your bones, and it doesn't have to go far to seep there. Because Sir Croakington is small. Well, probably. Maybe she accidentally got big while I wasn't looking. You gaze about in an attempt to familiarise yourself with the snow-draped forest you're now standing in, a bleak, lonely landscape that extends to the very edge of your sight in every direction. As you turn and begin to make your way to the top of a small, thickly forested rise at your back, hoping to gain a better advantage of the immediate area, you nearly stumble over something half buried in the snow. With your left hand pressed against the sturdy trunk of an ancient oak, you stare down in wide-eyed horror at the still bloodied body of a young man. And thick cloth shirt are caked with blood. Blood-soaked snow. And looking to the east, you can make out a broad, crimson-stained trail through the forest, the path through which the wounded man obviously dragged himself. Alright, okay. Maybe I can save him. Whether I should or not, who knows. Gonna do it anyway. Please, help my sister, he says, his weakened voice barely rising above the incessant howl of the wind that heralds the onset of the gathering winter storm. Follow her tracks. Help her! You must help her! The young man is dying. A wave of despair washes over you the instant you discern he's swiftly slipping away, for it is tempered by the realization there's nothing more you can hope to do for him. You hurriedly ask what he means, hoping to glean whatever you can for what he might be able to relate, but he simply repeats his desperate plea. Then, as his eyes begin to close, he tells you to take the amulet from his neck. You glance at a tarnished bronze amulet resting atop his bloody shirt. Give it to her, he says, his voice a little more than a faint whisper. She will know what to do with it. By the hand of the Allfather, you must see it done. Give it to her. You must get back to our father. You nod in response to his entreaty, making certain that he witnesses the gesture before his eyes shut for the last time. As the wind changes direction, swirling last night's layer of snow over and around you, you carefully hold the young man's arms across his chest. And no friendly fire elemental. You are not allowed to burn him, okay? Don't. We're not doing the full cremation until it's a proper funeral. We don't even know if that's what they do around here. Don't burn him. I know you want to, but don't. Just keep me toasty warm, please. Thank you very much. Suddenly, and inexplicably overcome by a profound sense of urgency, you make good on your silent promise and remove the tarnished bronze amulet from around his neck. As you rise to your feet, you examine the oddly shaped amulet, conclude that it is less than half of a larger piece. I guess she has the other half then. Oddly shaped amulet. This is an oddly shaped, tarnished bronze amulet. Recalling that the young man beseeched you to follow her tracks, you quickly embark on a thorough search of the immediate area, seeking any sign that someone might recently pass through here. It takes you less than a minute to find what you're looking for. Passing up and over the rise is a broad path marked by the small, scattered, snow-filled impressions you assume were made by the young man's sister. Judging by the size of the tracks, you arrive at the unsettling conclusion that his sister is a young girl, and you immediately begin to fear for her safety in this perilous, icy wilderness. As you quickly ascend the remainder of the slope, hoping to gain a better view of the surrounding forest, you abruptly freeze in mid-step. Slowly, your eyes drift downward, where your gaze falls upon a sight that fills you with dread. There, at the edge of the muddied path, clearly discernible from the untouched drifting of white that surrounds it is a single four-toed mark. Overcome by an unshakable and growing sense of desperation, you sprint to the top of the wise and stare out across the frozen forest spread out below you to the west. At first, you can see little of the lower woodlands beneath the swirling veil of ice and snow that whips through the frigid air on the back of the surging wind. Then, turning slightly to the north, you spot something moving swiftly through the trees, now and again disappearing from view as it dips beneath us, behind a snowy hill at the base of a soaring conifer. As the moving figure begins to cross a more open expanse, you get a full but fleeting glimpse of the first of the winter wolves. What are winter wolves? These large wolves, nearly twice the size of their lesser kin, are typically found in colder, frozen climates, for their domains are vast and varied. In winter, or in cold climates, the fur of these wolves is stark white, while other times it is deep grey. Aggressive and intelligent, winter wolves hunt in packs and like to encircle and assail large prey in unison, tactfully timing their attacks to overwhelm a foe's defences. Legend has it that being bitten by a winter wolf, and living to tell the tale, makes the victim especially susceptible to the effects of the cold. Winter wolf pelts are renowned for their ability to insulate and are thus prized by furriers. Although I'm probably a bit busy to concern myself with gathering pelts right about now. You don't wait to see if you can catch sight of the rest of the wolf pack, as a ghoulish chorus of howls, howl, reaches your ears, eerily blending into the shrill whistle of the frigid wind. You begin your rapid descent to the west, praying with every hastened step that young girl whose track you continue to follow has managed to stay ahead of her savage pursuers. When you reach the base of the hill, you strike out across the flat, snow-covered forest floor, trudging through knee-deep drifts and stumbling over buried rocks and limbs as you press steadily westward. As you reach the summit of a low, rock-strewn slope, your heart leaps, moving swiftly through the narrow, icy, boulder-clad ravine to the one site with any hope of momentarily allaying your worst fears. It's a small, fur-clad girl running for her life. A lone, piercing howl from the north echoes along the ravine, and the young girl glances back over her shoulder, her face betraying the terror that serves to drive her every step, her legs having long since passed the point of exhaustion. Suddenly, the girl's flight reaches an abrupt end as she stumbles into the figure that steps into her path and takes hold of her shoulders with a pair of firm, reassuring hands. As a child, perhaps no older than 10, turns her wide eyes, hockey-sticking gaze upon you, you calmly and partly point to a pull tine at the edge of a ravine and tell her to climb up into it. Without a word, she turns and rushes up towards the tree. Fateful decision. Inexplicably, you feel your destiny may in some way be linked to the choice you're about to make. So do I give her the amulet or not? I'm going to give it to her. I promised, so I must. You suddenly take the girl by the arm, momentarily preventing her from flight, and press into her hand the amulet you took only a short while ago from around the neck of the dying young man. The trio of howls suddenly breaks out to the north. You forcibly repeat your directive, and the girl promptly scurries to the base of the pine. As she begins to pull herself up to the relative safety of its broad, snow-covered limbs, you turn towards the mouth of the ravine, awaiting your first journey of the fearless hunters now bearing down on their intended prey. And I'm going to re-summon my fire elemental to keep me toasty warm through this fight. As the unnerving chorus of ghastly howls sails through the surrounding forest, You spot the first pair of winter wolves bursting from the trees on the northern edge of the narrow ravine. A quick glance over your shoulder reveals the girl has climbed nearly 20 feet into the tree, high enough to keep her out of reach of the ferocious canines. As three more of the fierce predators appear at the far end of the gorge, you draw yourself into defensive stance as you prepare to meet the vicious charge. In seconds, the first of the winter wolves is upon you, snarling as it tears at you with its deadly fangs. You immediately sense something sinister about the savage creature. This is a winter wolf, and it's going to be a dead wolf soon. The winter wolf snarls savagely as it tears at your flesh through its deadly fangs. The savage bite of your enemy tears into your flesh. Oh no, now I'm even more susceptible to cold, perhaps. Although that's probably already maxed out with being an amphibian and everything. Anyway, that was 9 damage. Keep going. Another savage bite. That damage and slay. 15 XP. The second winter wolf bounds over the bloody carcass of its slain kin and viciously attacks. Something's going on here. As a general rule with carnivorous animals, they don't pick fights they can't win. Unless they're honey badgers, of course. Because honey badger don't care. But wolf care. Winter wolf. So I expect there's some sort of mind behind it that's making them risk their lives for no reason. Or maybe they're just really, really, really hungry. The winter wolf snarls. Savage bite, 13 damage, and slain. 15 XP. As you step over the remains of the winter wolves, you stare along the length of the frozen ravine. Bounding towards you, directly up the centre of the boulder-strewn gully, are no less than a dozen of the vicious, white-coated, wild canines. So I can fight them regularly, or use my bow against, as many as I can first. Use your bow against the charging wolves. I'll do that first. You swiftly draw your bow and notch an arrow, taking aim at the foremost of the bounding wolves. The surging wind and billowing clouds of snow serves to make for an extremely difficult shot. Picking a number, bonus of 61. 31 from archery, boosted by having the grand ashen bow equipped. If I were to get that super bow, it would probably be boosted even more. 20 from woodmanship and 10 from agility. Let's see, so my current archery skill is 77, so what about 40% of it? I think even if I were to max out archery, it wouldn't make it 100% chance of success. Unless I have that super bow. Maybe if I maxed out woodmanship as well. Because that's a quarter. So that got me another 5 points there. Maybe. Oh, anyway, who knows? Doesn't matter now. Pick now. 131, success. 64 experience to archery. You loose your arrow and watch as the feathered shaft whistles along the ravine, cutting through the icy air before embedding itself deep in the chest of the bounding wolf. Without so much as a whimper, the savage creature pitches forward onto the frozen ground, dead before its carcass blows to a stop in the deepening snow. The first winter wolf has fallen prey to your arrows. You quickly return your steely gaze to the next of the charging wolves. You swiftly draw your bow and notch another arrow, taking aim at the foremost of the bounding wolves. The surging wind and billowing clouds of snow serves to make for an extremely difficult shot. It's the same deck again, pick now. 153, success. You loose your arrow and watch as the feathered shaft whistles along the ravine, cutting through the icy air before embedding itself deep in the chest of its bounding wolf. Without so much as a whimper, A savage creature pitches forward onto the frozen ground, dead before its carcass ploughs to a stop in the deepening snow. The second winter wolf has fallen prey to your arrows. You quickly turn your steely gaze to the next of the charging wolves. Okay, it's the same thing over and over again. This is the third shot. 90 is a success, 64 to archery. Third winter wolf is fallen down. Dead. Alright, have a go at the fourth one. 146, success, another 64 to archery. Number 5, 159, success, 64 to archery. I mean, this is probably one of the better sources of archery in the entire archery, Pacific archery experience in the entire game. Of course, most of the experience you get to archery in this game is either you using general experience or all skills and powers rewards. I mean, you do get quite a lot of it in little dribs and drabs, because archery's probably the third most used skill after thievery, or the third most used non-combat skills after thievery and woodmanship. Alright, the fifth wolf is down. Number 6. That goes down to the 64 to archery. Number 7. 64 XP to archery. Number 8. 64 XP to archery. Number 9. 64 XP to archery. Number 10. The 10th winter wolf has fallen playing to your arrows. Number 11. Nope, failure. You lose your arrow, but the blanket shaft, feathered shaft sails wide of the mark, vanishing beneath the blanket of snow that covers the floor of the ravine. Oh, well, we did get 640 experience to archery, which is nice, I guess. Is that enough to level it up? Well, right, archery's at the top. Yeah, I could have gained 2 levels to archery if I bothered to level it up. That wouldn't have made this pass a success, but still. You lose your arrow, but the feathered shaft sails wide of its mark. Vanish beneath the blanket of snow that covers the floor of the ravine. With no other conceivable recourse, you quickly shoulder your bow and bravely prepare to engage the remaining winter wolves. The next of the savage canines is swiftly upon you. Winter wolf, 11 of 12. The first 10 have arrows in them and are very dead. Begin combat. Alright, yeah, just blasting, swinging through it, and slain. 16 XP. The bloody carcass of the winter wolf slumps to the ground at your feet. 256 to general weight. Having slain the last of the wolves, but that wasn't the last of the wolves.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
all for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle, available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
I'll take it. Having slain the last of the wolves, you turn to check on the girl, who skillfully climbed into the upper limbs of a nearby pine, only to find yourself confronted by this large group of winter wolves, stalking towards you from the southern end of the ravine. The nine wolves, led by a beast that is nearly twice the size of any wolf you've encountered in this snowy wilderness, begin bounding towards you, snarling and howling as they bear down upon their intended prey. You call out to your young charge, telling her to remain where she is, perched safely on a broad branch, high in the evergreen, safely above the impending fray. You know, unless I swing the club too high and send a wolf careening into her, but I'll be very careful not to do that. A split second later, the massive wolf at the front of the pack is upon you, attempting to tear out your throat. A massive winter wolf. The massive winter wolf savagely tears at your flesh with its deadly fangs. Alright, keep going. Savage bite of the enemy tears into your flesh for 12 damage. Yeah, these all fight the same. I'm going to be quick combating from now on, unless I forget, which goes up regular fight. 42 XP. You leap back from the carcass of the massive wolf and draw yourself into combat-ready stance as you stand defiantly before the remainder of the vicious pack. It's now plain that these creatures are not ordinary wolves. You suspect they are somehow magical in nature, for you cannot begin to guess at their origin or purpose. Moving to your right, you position yourself between two tall shoulders of ledge. You prepare to face the fearless wolves, one at a time. Winter wolves, 2 of 9. The first was the massive wolf, just got quick combat that. 39 XP. You step over the carcass of the winter wolf and position yourself to face the next savage canine pack. 3 of 9. Quick combat. Another 39 XP, 4, 39 XP, 5, 39 XP, lots of combat experience here, that's 40 XP, 7 is another 40, 8 is another 40, they're probably slowly increasing the difficulty as you plough through them, you know, as often happens. I don't think in most cases when this happens, this increased difficulty isn't the wolves conveniently line themselves up in order of difficulty. It's more that symbolises you getting a little bit tired, and so for the wolf they become comparatively more difficult. But he's not lowering your MR in that for this business, because you don't want to mess with them, just in case you forget to unmess with them, and that could cause a lot of problems. Anyway, quick combat, the ninth wolf, that's the last, well, for now at least, they are slain. 40 XP, you step back from the carcass of the last of the winter wolves. 512 experience to general, with the bloody carcass of the wolves piled on the floor of the ravine at your feet. You turn and move swiftly to the base of the pine, your every sense alert for the first sign of more wolves. For any sign of more wolves, even the second or third sign, when you're reasonably certain not any immediate danger of another attack, you call up to the young girl and ask if she can climb down from her lofty perch. Within just a few moments, she adeptly scales down the trunk of the pine and comes to stand before you, her eyes fixed nervously on the forest that surrounds her, the gorge. Then, without warning, she steps forward and picks me up and hugs me. She suddenly pulls away from you and, with a tear-streaked face, asks you a question you aren't fully prepared to answer. Where is my brother? Is he dead? With great care and still mindful of the danger inherent in lingering here, you told the young girl about her brother's passing, making certain to relate to her his request that she be given the amulet. Much to your surprise, she does not cry, but instead nods and holds up the amulet, now dangling from her neck. You just see. The oddly shaped trinket has been somehow adjoined to the second part, and is now twice the size of the piece you acquired. Not wishing to remain here any longer than necessary, but eager to learn what you can about this girl, her brother, and the dire peril you found her in the midst of, you ask her about the wolves. Where is she and her brother were heading? Without answering you, she shrieks in alarm and leaps behind you, her hands clutching at your garb. They were heading home, sounds a soft but masculine voice from behind you. She and her brother are heading home with property that belongs to me. With your every nerve tingling, you turn around and fix your defiant gaze on an unsettling scene. Standing about a dozen yards from you, in the middle of a frozen, boulder-strewn ravine, is a tall, thin, black-bearded man, clad in a lengthy grey-lined coat, his gaunt face framed by a wild mane of dark hair that spills off his head and runs into his beard, is set with a pair of fierce blue eyes, flanking the eerie figure and serving as the immediate reason for your alarm are 2 dozen winter wolves. Where is he getting all his wolves from? Does he just have a sack of infinite wolves? Possibly another thing gifted by the Elder Throne. Or maybe one of the other thrones. Yeah, I mean, they got their sacks of infinite tarsal. He gets his sack of infinite wolves. The savage, fearless canines sit quietly at the side of the man they obviously regard as their master. Or maybe he just walked up to, packs of wolves and wrestled the alpha wolf. And because he believes that's how it works, that made him the boss of the wolves. Because wolves don't work like that, but no one told those wolves that it doesn't work like that, so they went along with it. With the young girl tightening her grip on you from behind, you boldly ask the man what it is he seeks. He slowly turns and looks back along the gorge, his eyes passing over the carcasses of the slain wolves. He then turns back to you. "I suppose I might first want some new wolves," he says, shrugging his shoulders. Before you can respond to his flippant remark, the man folds his arms across his chest and fixes his piercing gaze on you as he issues a threatening mandate. "The girl's brother stole from me an amulet that is my lawful property," he says, his voice adopting a low rumble as the angry words spill through his clenched teeth. The fact that you didn't go to, whatever passes for law around here, and went for the summon a gazillion wolves methods kind of suggests you're not exactly law-abiding. And therefore, I don't really feel bad about stealing from you. Especially since you've killed someone. Yeah, and killing someone way, way worse than any theft. Even grand theft. So suffice it to say that I hold thieving wretches and that those who would knowingly give them haven in only the lowest possible regard. It seems to me you must not know The urchin tugging at your sleeve. Else you might keep a better watch on your pockets. Look, you're a murderer. I don't really care about piffy little thieves now when there's a murderer around. You defiantly tell the man that the theft of his property does not justify what has happened this day. And the girl and the amulet are now under your protection. What I just said. A formidable guard it would seem, he says. He's a careful inflection, revealing nothing of his intentions, as he once again turns and looks over the remains of his slain walls. I'm truly sorry about what happened to your brother, Rio. But you must know it was never my intention to hurt anyone. I suggest you return to me what is mine, so there's no further trouble. Okay, it might not have been your intention, but once you start throwing packs of wolves around, someone getting hurt is almost certainly going to happen. Just so happens that with me around, the someone is going to be you and all your wolves. Not really that angry at the wolves. They're just in the way, and I just have to cut through them to get to you. At the mention of the name Ulio, your pulse quickens. You realise that the accomplished spellcaster and brave ally you first met during your adventure in Quellis Tarn is indeed the same little girl now crouching behind you, fearful of the black-bearded man and his pack of wolves. "You're a liar," she says, stepping up behind you, her small, wavering voice almost completely swallowed up by the rush of wind as she sweeps along the ravine. "This is my father's amulet, and you can't have it!" Yes, you know what? Considering he's a bad guy, clearly, I am very doubtful of his... It wasn't the computer pausing, it was just the mouse. Okay, sorry about that. I would clear this up in editing, but I've lost where it was. Before you can react, Oreo steps in front of you, her small, frail body trembling, as he swiftly draws back her white arm and thrusts her open palm towards the sinister black-bearded figure. Instantly, as if struck by an invisible force, the man is swept off his feet and driven back into the side of a massive boulder. God, even child Oreo is kind of badass. Gasping for breath and moaning in agony, he slumps to the ground at the foot of the rock. Oreo dodges your grasp and again thrusts his hand outwards, sending the fallen man across the snow-covered ground onto the side of another boulder. His head strikes the base of the giant stone with a... You realise at once that Uriel already possesses potent magical ability, and that unless you intervene, she will likely kill the man with her formidable mastery of telekinesis. Alright, just a reminder to everyone, don't make Uriel angry. She will make your head explode. Suddenly, as if stirred to action by an unspoken word of command, the two dozen winter wolves spring forward. You know what? About time you turned up is surely what that man is thinking, snarling viciously as they bound towards the young mage. Two of the larger wolves take the lead. You've only seconds to spare. Oreo, a gruesome fate. Okay, so there are four options here. Archery, fortification, and telekinesis. Unfortunately for me, these all require level 80 plus. And I don't have 80 in any of them. The thing is, if I'd actually bothered to level up archery, it'd still be level 79. Even if I'd use the XP that was just hanging around. The thing is, getting arteries to level 80, perfectly credible. Something that is something that people could realistically do, but getting fortification and telekinesis to 80, that requires dipping into your general experience or a lot of grinding. But I didn't. If I paid attention, maybe I could have grinded them up in advance. But I didn't. So if you want to know what happens if you use those skills, you're just going to have to play the game yourself. Yeah, play the game yourself and deliberately level archery, fortification, and telekinesis, or one of them, because you can only pick one. So you're going to have to do it again with the second and the third character to find out what happens if you use the other two. Maybe some packages would help with that. Anyway, attempt to intercept the bounding wolves. My only solution is to fight. You rush forward, attempting to place yourself between Uriel and the bounding wolves. Picking a number. Bonus of 80. 20 from agility, body, luck and woodmanship. Got to get 75 or more, which means I cannot fail. And this isn't it's very important, you should not fail. You must not fail. This is, I cannot fail. Though even if I rolled a 1, I would still pass. I'm guaranteed success. Pick now. 108, success. You leap in front of Uriel and brazenly assume a combat-ready stance, doing your best to shield the young spellcaster and position yourself to engage the snarling pack one at a time. I found some of those scattered rocks and found a place between them where they cannot surround me. Or maybe these wolves are just really, really stupid. And don't, you know, despite being wolves, they apparently just forgot about pack hunting tactics. With a vicious snarl, the closest of the wolves bounds forward and attacks, lunging for your throat with its deadly, fang-filled jaws. Okay, I'm just going to fight the first one manually. Savagely tears your flesh with its deadly fangs. Keep going, keep going, keep going, and slain. 39 XP. The winter wolf slumps to ground at your feet and expires. Take a bit of time to heal. Alright. Making certain Uriel is still behind you, you violently engage the next of the winter wolves. I guess they're all going to... they're pissed off at me now, so they're all focusing on me. Quick combat. And that guy's a little bit too knocked out to say, "Yo, wolves, focus on Uriel already. She stole something of mine that I rightfully stole." Oh, I shouldn't have said that. But instead they're just attacking me. All right, quick combat. Just blank number 4. I'm quick combating the lot of them. Number 6. 7. Right, here's, we're third of the way there. 9. 10. 11. 12. 40 XP. 13. 40 XP. 14. Alright, I've passed more than halfway now. 15, 16, alright, on the final stretch. 40, 40 again, that's the XP, that's 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. The winter wolf slumps to ground at your feet and expires. 3,072 experience to general. Hopelessly wary, you drop to one knee and struggle to catch your breath as you look over your gruesome handiwork. At that moment, you realise Uriel is no longer behind you. A low moan snaps your head in the direction of the black bearded man, still lying at the foot of the boulders into which he was flung. He rises onto his elbows and makes several failed attempts to regain his feet before collapsing back onto the frozen ground, moving across the ravine, stepping around the bloodied remains of the slain wolves. Her eyes fixed on the hopeless man is Uliel. You said he realised the young spellcaster, trembling with fear, and surrounded by the grim reminders of death, intends to avenge her brother. Look, I think we're at a stage where we could just tie him up using the rope that, let's face it, adventurers always have rope. It's just a thing that they have. Tends to avenge your brother. Anyway, that finishes this scenario with 3,072 experience to general and 256 experience to all skills and powers. Alright, and that's the end of this scenario. Next up, well, not right now, but fairly soon, is the Chasm of Time Part 4, where we see what Uriel is going to do. I think he's in for a bad time. But anyway, we're very nearly 45 minutes, so we'll save that to a fresh episode, because if we do that do Chasm of Time Part 4, we will be well over an hour. So we'll just leave that to next one. There are 18 victories in 18 attempts for this proving ground so far. Well, there was 19 attempts, but one of those disappeared into a time vortex. The one that was a failure. Which is all well and good, really. Exit the proving grounds. And we're going to save now, next time. Continuing the proving grounds. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.